Welcome to a Wholeness Podcast, a healthy home for hair professionals and our clients, where health and happiness is the top priority for those within the hair industry. Serving those who serve and giving the hair industry one great big hug. Hello, I'm your host, Fliss Downs, a barber, yogi, and meditation teacher. Come on in. Before I crack on with today's episode, if you haven't done so already, please hit the follow button on Spotify or on iTunes and leave me a star rating and review. By doing this, you will be helping me reach a wider audience and get the message out there sooner rather than later. I'd also like to mention that this podcast is proudly sponsored by Earth and Soul Pizza. If you are local to or travelling through Bairnsdale, use my promo code LOVEFLISS. That's LOVEFLISS. And get yourself a free large pizza when you buy one. With locally sourced produce and food exceptionally made by the team at Earth and Soul Pizza, be sure to get your wholesome, blissful pizza. I'm very excited to be bringing you this episode. It's one that I've been waiting to record for a fair while now, and I'm so fortunate to be able to finally have a video call with Jake Putin, who is also a barber, and he's somebody like myself, ruffling some feathers and wanting to break down many compartments of the hair industry for the better. And when I say ruffle the feathers, I don't mean in an egotistical way or to cause any conflict or disheartened vibes. This is all through pure love and our own experiences being in the industry and realizing the flaws and us going, how can we unpack the industry and look at it from a place of love, compassion, tenderness, and really bring a holistic approach to the industry, which a few years ago, I was having this vision of this, and I never really knew how to go about it, and I knew I couldn't do it alone. And I'm now fortunate to say that I have found Jake. I have found Sherelle as well. Sherelle is a gorgeous soul herself who I recorded an episode with last year, back in episode 13. Along with also briefly connecting with Mariana, who I'm excited to get to know even more. In this conversation with Jack and myself, we really find a beautiful space between us to talk about us as creatives and talk about how we can have a more sustainable way living in the hair industry, and not just having a sustainable life in the industry, but also having a sustainable life outside of the industry. We broke down so many compartments in this episode, and I'm sure Jake too, like myself, feels very proud of this conversation and to bring this to you. So what are we waiting for? Let's get stuck into it.
I'm actually in the Gold Coast at the moment for the Barber Expo.
How's the Barber Expo going?
It's cool. Lots of socializing, lots of connecting, which is a whole thing I can get into that I've really enjoyed. And I'm going back there today after this. So.
Nice. Was it 3 days?
The first day was the barber battle and an opening party. And then the expo convention part of it was Sunday, Monday.
Danny come up with you or anything?
So, yeah, him and Laura came up and Chan, one of the other guys from our shop, came up. And it's been cool. We went out to Topgolf last night and that was fun.
Love it. That's good.
How's things for you?
Yeah, all good. It's my Monday off because I work alternative Mondays. So it's my Monday off and I just reap those 3 days off in a row so much. Great. And so I embrace that. And of course, talking to you today and then catch up with a friend. I'm just going to be doing some productive things on my laptop that I need to be doing for my meditation stuff. And all these little things pile up, and it's the to-do list keeps on getting bigger and bigger. And so I'm just needing to condense that list a little bit.
Yeah, I feel you. I think sometimes I've noticed, and it's funny when you mention meditation, and I remember one specific moment I wrote out this list. There was 36 items that I had to do, and I was feeling so overwhelmed, and I was like, which one do I start? And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go and meditate. Meditated, I came back and I was like, I'll put that list in the bin. I don't need that. None of that's important.
It's
It'll get
crazy,
done.
isn't it, at how
Just
we can
mine.
accumulate so much things to do and stuff to do, and it can completely get in your way of your vision and what you're actually needing to do, when so many of these little things just really aren't important, but yet we think it is important and it needs to be done. I'll go through months at a time where I've not done that, I've not finished that, what I said I would do for somebody, and then time goes on, and I go, oh my God, it's been and gone and done now. Is there any point in still pursuing it?
I think as creative people and to a degree running our own businesses, it can be something really interesting. I actually saw something recently and it was relative to what you're saying, and it was about alignment. And it's that the truest thing that I've experienced is if it's actually something we've put off and procrastinated on, then there's a necessary question to ask. Is this actually in alignment with my direction? Because if it was, it should be really easeful and I should just be seamlessly moving through this and the doors would open. And if there's so many blocks, then am I forcing something that's actually not relevant?
Yes. And it's one of them things that you might have so many things that are aligned, but you just don't know where to begin as well, because you are such a creative and you want to do this and that and blah, blah, blah. That gets overwhelming as well. But then, on the same line as what you're saying, if it's not coming naturally or easy, or you're not excited to do it, then is it actually aligned with you?
And here's another addition to that, because and it happened recently, because I'm like, oh, there's all these avenues we can go down, different paths, and there's things that probably feel appropriate to the branding and the direction and the mission and all the stuff. And then I was like, just sat in. I was like, I'm gonna ask myself, outside of all the noise of what I think I should be doing, what should I actually be doing? What feels more purposeful? And I was like, just go and create art. I was like, okay, you just create creative time. But ironically, the magic that happens in following the charm is you just completely get out of your own head and you're just in this free, expressive state. And naturally, like the things start coming and metaphoric doors in your world, instead of like facing the mental block, facing the mental blocks of oh this and this and none of it, just art.
I love that. Did you go on to actually create some art pieces as well?
I've got an iPad that I do digital drawings on. That's always on hand. That I'll bring it with me in case I want to go to that. And I've just played with paintings and stuff over there, scattered and sporadic, never really to sell or anything, but for the purpose of just create art.
I love that. And art's everywhere, right? Art's in our work. Cutting hair. It
It's
is in
not just painting it.
conversation.
The storytelling.
The storytelling, yes. Yes, and Vuja is very big on storytelling, actually. It's something that's come into play since I've gone onto Vuja's course. I was even thinking about storytelling before that, but I hadn't really named it as storytelling. I didn't have a name for it, and then I did that, and I was like, oh, that's what it is. It's so simple.
Yeah, and people are craving that, and it's something that I've been feeling into just from a marketing perspective is it's a story. I was at Hearts and Minds at the shop on a Saturday recently, and I looked around and I was like, oh, I should take a photo of the shop and give a behind the scenes view of what's going on, and that might be good content. And I was like, That would be the most ineffective thing I could possibly do, actually. What is it actually doing? It's just noise. And it's like people want to feel me or you as the artist, and they want to know the story of how was the day? What happened in the day? What was the highlights? What was the low lights? What's frustrating you in your business? And I think as artists, as creatives, we get to bring through that really authentic vulnerability of this is actually what's going on. And people are like, oh, I needed that. And people need that capacity to feel relatable. And we can often put ourselves in positions to make it look like we're doing well, but it's people don't care. People actually don't care.
I don't know where we got this from, Jake. Where does society get this from?
And it just perpetuates this cycle of people then feeling inadequate because of this like false polarity of pedestaling.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, you've been on a journey from everything that I've even known about you from like word go, which I don't even remember when we both connected. It would have been probably last year when Sherelle put me in touch with you, which would have been maybe about May time. I don't know for sure, but of course, for you going on your journey traveling, because it was Europe that you went to, wasn't it?
It started in Egypt. That was the catalyst, I'd say, for sure.
That's it. And now you're obviously back in Australia now. You would have built so many stories from going traveling to cutting hair on top of a mountain, which was so cool, to then coming back into the shop and all of those stories that you would have seen throughout that, and even just you showing glimpses of that over the last year and prior, people can find a story within those posts themselves rather than showing off the superficial stuff of an amazing haircut that you've done. Actually, oh, it's a post of Jake cutting hair on a mountain. It's nothing about the haircut, it's actually about the experience, the story behind that.
And that's something I want to bring into my content, actually, without calling it marketing. But there is a whole book of stories that have been collected through my experience. And naturally, like, I'm an Aries, so quite often, like, my character becomes the archetype of the Aries to just go headfirst into something. And that attribute of why would I feel I just want to do the same thing forever? I want to have multiple lives and I want to have multiple experiences that just exist in the imagination of possibility. And it's, yeah, let's go do it. Let's challenge what is possible. There's some incredible experiences there that I've learned a lot from, but it's fun to retell that story as well when people are like, that would be really intimidating. I'm like, yeah. And it was like, that's where life exists, when we meet that edge of uncertainty.
Out of the comfort zone. Absolutely. And how are you enjoying being back in a shop now? How's that dynamic for you?
At first, it was really challenging, and I knew that that was going to be part of the process. And I'm only working 2 days in a shop, but I was noticing that I started to feel a sense of purposelessness, and I'm quite reflective of and to unpack what's going on to allow me to feel like that. And so I came back to my values, and I was like, what do I really enjoy? What do I need to feel fulfilled and purposeful in my work? And I realized I'm not passionate about hair at all. I'm passionate about connection and relationships. And if the appointment is restricted in that sense to a time and I'm pushing through to get it done, then I'm actually skipping through the things that actually I require to feel fulfilled in my day. And really grateful that Denny and Laura are so open and welcoming to what my needs actually, and really flexible with that. And so yeah, we're now looking at stretching those times out, and I'm not there to make money. I'm there to be part of a team and part of a mission, and have this kind of like capacity to work together towards something greater that I can't get while I'm working by myself. Yeah, it's realizing all those threads that that's actually what's required for me to feel purposeful. And since even having that conversation, it's now I'm remembering how I can create impact and purpose through every client experience.
Otherwise, it's just like a train of people.
Yeah. And it's a lot, like
Yes, I
for the
feel you,
barbers that watch
mate. I
this,
feel
and
you.
yeah, it's to be seeing a dozen or more people, and most barbers are doing that daily, 5 or 6 days a week. It's incredibly draining, and we're holding so much and collecting all the other people's stuff, and then we're just moving on to the next person. It's like, even though it's not necessarily financially productive, I will gain so much more mental clarity and capacity to provide a service by just taking 2 to 3 minutes between each client to clean my stuff, get prepared, mentally get prepared, mentally clean out whatever was just going on, take a breath, reassess, drink some water. Okay, next person. And we often cut out that stuff because it's like, oh, but we can get more clients in. And it's, but
It's
long
crazy.
term, yeah,
It's
keeping
not
the barber clean.
sustainable. It really isn't sustainable. And as you say, and both you and I, and probably many other barbershop owners, will understand why you have such a high turnover with clients. One in, one out, one in, one out. But this is where we need to look at the dynamic of actually what are we charging our clients? Because, of course, if you're going to be charging more, but being able to do less clients, you're still going to be able to be earning that baseline per day, but you're not exerting yourself and draining yourself. And I also think I've got many clients that say to me, God, you must be knackered by the end of the day. How do you always have a bubbly, chirpy, energetic face on? And I just say, because it's adrenaline, I've got to keep on going. And by the end of the day, I go home and I deflate. I come home on my lunch break as well, as what you say between your clients. That's something that I do. I take my time to clean my station and I don't bring the next client over until my station is completely tidied. And even in between, well, during cutting a client's hair, I'll still step to one side to have some water. And I need to have that pause in what I'm doing and a pause in that conversation. But on my lunch break, I come home and I shoes off, socks off, lie flat on the ground with my cat, and I just embrace that moment. And that's my way to recharge myself to go back. And I also, the other thing that I do is I purposely make my lunch later in the day. So I smash out the first 5, 6 hours. I then have a 45-minute lunch break, and then I come back to, on my shorter days, 2 hours left of my day. And that I go, okay, at the max, I have four more people left at the
Yeah.
max. And I can get
It's
through
easy to
that.
digest.
Yeah, it's easy to digest. And I've just might have got through 10 to 12 people within the first part of my day. And I don't really want to use the word it's a coping mechanism. I don't feel that's the right word, and I'm still yet figuring out what is the terminology around finding these tools for me as a barber and for other barbers such as yourself and everyone in the hair industry, really. What would that be classed as? Share with me what your thoughts are on this in a minute, Jake. But I feel when I say a coping mechanism, it's almost like I'm struggling and I'm needing to hold on to something to keep on going, and I'm not in the right mindset. And but it's not that. It's more so I'm recharging, revitalizing myself to be able to perform at a level that I believe my clients deserve. Have you, if you can come up with another word for me, then that would be great.
The word that comes in, I'll come in a roundabout way. So when you say coping mechanism, I'd say coping mechanism feels more of an avoidance tool, and it's coping and just dealing with the problem, but bringing it back into alignment is recalibration. And it's like the recalibrative tools of like breath work, water, etc. So essential.
Mm.
Interesting. I was speaking to a couple of guys yesterday who were on stage and doing presentations, and having been there, like, I understand the level of like burnout that happens very quickly in those positions. And most of them were drinking Coke, and there was chips and bread and stuff available. And not that anything's wrong with it, but because I've experienced it, I've had to learn like how to keep my energy at the most high to constantly stay in the recalibrate and stay in alignment to be able to perform. Because otherwise, yeah, you're depleted and you're not actually giving any energy out. You're actually almost sucking, trying to grab onto whoever's got something. And I went out and I got some coconut water, some apples and bananas, and just gave it to a couple of the boys. And I was like, you're gonna need this. And it's simple, it's so simple. I even find that right now, most of the time, I don't really have breakfast, or if I do, it's like it's low GI carbs and get me through the sort of longer period. But throughout the day, I'm not having any carbs. It's fruit. And the fruit, it's easy to digest. So I'm staying up and my energy isn't crashing after lunch. And I'm just retaining this sort of vibrancy to be able to consistently give the service. And that's been crazy, the difference that I'm noticing from a mental performance and clarity point of view.
Yeah. Any specific fruit or just whichever fruit you feel like at the time?
Yeah, specific fruits are an interesting question because there's another layer to that of combining different fruits has to be done intentionally. And obviously, this isn't nutritional advice, but for me, if you're having like melons, if I'm having melons and things, like you can't have melons with other fruit, it's just have melons by itself. Then there's another factor of combining sweet fruits with heavier fruits needs to be done really carefully. I find berries is really good because berries all round, you can have it with most things, or apples and bananas, and like those are pretty consistent. Dates are really nutrient dense and giving you that energy and sustenance for the
I
day.
love that.
And then whatever you enjoy too is plums are really nice at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just there's layers and layers with the food stuff. But yeah, I've really noticed anytime I eat carbs, like my energy's going down. So I'll keep carbs till night times when I can go to sleep. But if I need to be mentally performing, then it's like I can't do it.
Absolutely. It's the food coma. When you have carbs, heavy, starchy stuff, that's when you get into your food coma. Actually, since the beginning of this year, I've purposely been reducing processed carbs and reducing refined sugars. And I've just noticed a massive difference in how I felt completely. And don't get me wrong, from time to time, I will carb out or I will sugar out. But my goodness me, now when I do that, oh my God, I'm like, why did
Yeah,
you do
you
that?
notice a difference real quick. Yeah. And I want to share from a transparent point of view that we get to enjoy food, but we need to know when to do those things. And I can do that when I'm completely switching off and I can just chill at home. I don't need to be anywhere. I don't need to be social, blah, blah, blah. And this is coming from, when was it? It was probably 2019. I literally would go to McDonald's and buy a family box and I'd eat the whole thing and be unable to drive home because I was like, dead. This is my first-hand experience, but I feel like it's also given me a reference point to why I never want to do that again and why I'm choosing to devote to health and optimization.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's all these things that, as a hair professional, that we need to take into consideration, but it's not taught. It's not in the foundation of becoming a barber, of becoming a hairdresser. It blows my mind that these sorts of things aren't within the curriculum.
Exactly. And I love that. I love that you've taken this direction because this is something I feel really passionate about, but it is also one of the key catalysts that's going to transform the industry is how we holistically look at the role of a barber. And what I've started to unpack and This comes with just having free time to process and look at the things. And I was like, the role of a barber up until now has been primarily dominated by your technical cutting ability. And the response to that, or the incentivization of that, is it's very psychological, and we're not necessarily always aware of it, but it's like when people are put on stages and we're looking up to them, automatically they become the role model and the influence. And so there's a role that person then plays in what does that person embody, and what is the message, what is the conversation that we're delivering to the industry. And for the most part, it's been, yeah, it's just technical cutting, and most people are educating about how to cut hair. And I feel this so deeply, but you can be the best technical cutter in the world and be the worst barber. Because to be a good barber, there's all these other tr branches in the tree that's like your business skills, your personality, your technical cutting, your management of your own health and wellness,
Yes, and that's the big
and
one.
how you actually serve your client. And I'm sure there's a million sub branches of those
Oh
things,
God, we can go off for gold with that one.
but it really is going to become a requirement that we need to realize and recognize the role that we are responsible for within society, humanity at large, really, as perhaps one of the only people that the community comes to for refuge. And what are we reflecting back to those people?
Absolutely. I love that. And when we think about the collective in the hair industry, we can actually branch that out to maybe even the beauty industry. Although I don't think in the beauty industry, people see their beautician as much as what they would do a barber. When we look at the hair industry in general, on the hairdressing side, normally goes anywhere between sort of 6 to 8 weeks. Whereas in the barbering side, you can get a client coming once a week, every other week, to then 4 weeks. See those people so frequently. So I think you're right in saying, as a role as a barber, we are the ones that get to connect with the community so much more often than any other service-based company or business. And it's all those sub-branches that we need to embody as a barber to be able to, number one, look after ourselves. Because if we can't be looking after ourselves, if we're not optimizing our health and our happiness, then how can we provide the best service possible? We're not doing our clients any justice by drinking Red Bull all day, going outside on a break for a cigarette, whatever people wish to do to de-minimize their health. And as well, for us to be able to look after ourselves on the health purpose, on the holistic side, that will actually then come through into the work that we do and transcend into our clients. Because let's say we was to help shift the hair industry. That's what we're wanting to do, isn't it? Is we wanted to shift the hair industry in the holistic side of things. Clients are going to start realizing that their barber has changed. Maybe ever so slightly, maybe they've lost weight, maybe they're looking more vibrant, maybe they're a lot more collective and not so scatty on their tools. And clients are going to ask after that, hey, what are you doing? Like, what's different? I've noticed something different about you. And as a barber, you can then share that, but it also brings and opens up so many more discussions other than your bog standard, what the weather's doing. What are you doing for holiday this year? And look, I think we can all plead guilty to that, can't we, Jake? Somehow, those conversations come in, and at times, those conversations are needed because some clients might not be on the same level as where we're at on an awareness level. So we need to drop our conversation down a little bit to them. And then over a period of time, you start to build that relationship and you start just feeding them a little seed here and feeding them a seed here and there. So it really can, like you say, just from us as an industry, shifting our awareness to optimizing our health and our happiness, that's going to transcend into humanity easily.
Yeah, there's a leadership role that we inevitably have within being a barber, and yeah, it's a powerful and very sacred role, and I think we get to treat that more delicately, and it's not getting wasted and showing up hungover because, and I've done this so many times, but knowing my subconscious in that moment with that client is like, how can I get you the out of here right now? Because I can't be fucked. And why would someone pay to experience that? A client is literally giving me money for me to go get out of here. That's so many levels of disrespect. And I think, in comparison to that, when I've looked after me, I've looked after my body, and I've kept my energy high, especially to the end of the day when quite often it can be easy to just be accumulated and overwhelmed and stressed and fatigued, that we can't be bothered with the last few clients. But to still hold the optimized level of service at that point and still give energy from an empowered place, and every person that's paying me is receiving my fullest capacity. And I think, like, that needs to be looked at as what is required as a barber. How do we perform throughout the day? We need to have those conversations.
And when we really look at it as a barber, it's the performance side because we are on show. We're performing all day to every single client. And just want to touch base on what you're saying about towards the end of the day, not being in the optimal situation, is we want each client to receive the same sense of attention. We might start off really bubbly, and I find this myself sometimes, it doesn't happen very often, but I can find myself really pumped for the day, really energetic, really bubbly towards my clients. And then towards the end of the day, on a day maybe where I've not quite looked after my energy levels, I'm then flatter towards the end of the day. I'm not as bubbly, not as vibrant. And the last client had a different fliss versus the first client. But they're still, like you
And
say, they're still paying the same.
yeah, exactly. And so, if someone's only getting 10% of me, do they pay 10% of the haircut?
Yeah, it's a really big topic that could be broken down. And it's not something easy to break down either because it's so complex. But as a collective between us, we need to break that down to be so simplistic and so basic that hair professionals can't ignore that.
And yeah, it's interesting because you bring up the holistic shift. And so, to speak into it, I find it really difficult to educate someone on top of so many layers that are compressing what they know. And there's a rigidity there of, I can't put more information in, actually. So holistic education of what we're talking about is more of an experiential learning. It's less about lecturing and informing and retaining information, but it's actually taking ourselves upon a journey or an experience to transcend the noise, transcend the layers. And there's a lot of the Vedic or the transcendental meditation that speaks to everything can actually be reduced back to one. And so, when you're meditating and you're like sinking down deeper, deeper, and you connect back to the core origination of the truth, all that really matters, and you realize, like, all the rest is layers that I can actually shed, and I'm just hearing this one vision of the top three things that are important, and we go, oh, now I can see that. And it's we're referring to that as inspired leadership, because people have had the experience and they want to create the difference within their team, as opposed to trying to tell people and push them into a direction from a force point of view. And that's like the evolution, the holistic shift.
It's about subtly bringing the knowledge to people's lives where they can implement it without it being too hard for them, without them having to think too much about it, and feeding them knowledge and information, but in a really soft approach,
Absolutely.
rather than you must do this, you've got to do this. It's actually, look how amazing this is. This is how our bodies work. This is how we can optimize our health, our happiness, our body, our energy. Give it a go. See what you think. If you was to practice this one thing for the next week, tell me if and when you notice a difference from when you started this versus when you ended it. What did you feel? What did you notice? Do you feel better? And the likelihood is that person is going to feel better and they're going to realize there's a difference in their frequency, in their energy levels, in the way that they present themselves just by implementing one thing into their life. And then they can implement the next thing. And it's building blocks, isn't it? It's
For
building
sure,
your
yeah.
foundation and then building yourself up. And within a year, 12 months, you're a completely changed person for the better.
Yeah, it's powerful. And I had an interesting experience yesterday on that where there's a few things you touched on. And one was actually an example 3 years ago. I entered an awards competition with a specific intention to disrupt or shake things up. And it ended up in slight tension with the organizer because of the way that I did it. And I'd completely pulled the legs out of the thing with nothing for them to stand on. And I saw them at the event yesterday and spoke to them and just apologized for the way that I did that. And I realized too that sometimes we want to challenge the authority and the hierarchy that exists. But if we're doing it in that way, then it's just our ego trying to be validated and it's just creating the same level of hierarchy and war. And instead of dismantling the hierarchy, it's like, how can we honor the hierarchy for the work that they've done? Because in that way, and demonstrating that level of vulnerability and accountability, we're actually bringing them into their hearts. And it's really naturally, this is the way. Because anyone that's like operating from the mind, by speaking through the heart, we bring them into their heart, and we're actually creating more of a cohesive, heart-centered industry. And secondly to that, the education piece is I was trying to teach people a lesson from being destructive. I had someone else come up to me yesterday who was in a workshop that I did late 2020, and we started the event with a few breaths before we went into it. And they're actually, I believe, the national sales manager for this company. And they said, I just wanted to really acknowledge that event because they've taken that into all their corporate meetings now, and she does breath with them at the start of every meeting. And she said it's completely transformed her company and her team and her operations and how they do things. And see the difference between trying to tell someone what to do as opposed to give them an experience, bring them to the heart, they'll know what to do. And how much fucking easier is that?
That's powerful. Yeah, and it comes from the heart, comes from love. If we can actually share things through love rather than the egotistical side, the impact is going to be more positive versus trying to disrupt, trying to attack. And that's the thing. How do we help shift the industry in a really loving, caring, kind, compassionate way and saying, hey, we know that this is what the industry's been like for years. And we know it's going to be hard to change the industry, but it's going to be absolutely okay. And we're going to be flourishing more than ever in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, because this ripple is happening and people won't know themselves in a few years' time versus who they are right now, today, and in the past. It's just come from the heart center. It's come from love, from passion. Yeah. And it's that thing where we can bring humanity together for people to feel whole, to feel one, to feel unity. And when we've got this hierarchy, it creates such a separation and such this authoritative figure. There's no way that we can actually connect on the same level because we're coming from two different places, and it's like we're head bashing against one another when that's not what this industry is about. But weirdly enough, that's what has happened.
Yeah, and so epic your share on that. And something that I actually, the analogy came from Matthias De Stefano. I was listening to him on a podcast, and he was talking about this similar concept that if we think of nature and always bring it back to nature, and it's like the hierarchy is the trees in the rainforest, and we say the little plants in the undergrowth can feel really challenged because we want to be the tree. And there's this big tree in the way, and I want to be them, so I'm going to chop them down. But what we're doing is forgetting our role and forgetting that the tree has its place as well, that provides us shade and safety, right?
Yes,
And
I love
so
that analogy.
it's like when you think about what actually goes on underneath the forest, that's the mycelium, it's the network, it's the mycelium actually collaborate to bring the information to the tree so that they can create based on what's going on. And I
Yes.
was like, honestly, I don't want to be the tree. That's a lot of responsibility. That's a lot of like
Provide the shade.
from the elements. And I think it's really important to actually where we're moving in that direction and going, yeah, actually, I get to work in a different way. Maybe not what's been presented to me, but what do I want to do? And what do I like really feel empowered by? And it was interesting yesterday at the event where there's a few people doing education and they're on the stands and doing the stuff. And I was just walking around, really enjoying the connection that I was getting by being really present with each person that I was chatting to. And they were like, oh, how come you're not doing anything here? And I was like, I'm doing it. It's like the impact that I want to have, I can't do from up there. I need to be on the ground. I need to be connecting. And
Sure that.
where we're actually moving people to is, yeah, speaking through the embodiment. And when people are asking what I'm doing, and I'm like, oh, I'm working 3 days a week, I've got 4 days off. Just looking after my health. That's the education. And we continue on, and people will think about that. I'll hand out some fruit over there. One guy was really burnt out and stuck, tired. And I was like, let's do some breath work. And so just guided him into a few breaths. And I was like, this is my education. I'm not selling anything, but I'm selling you into a better version of yourself to be able to perform at these things and do them from a more sustainable point of view.
A lifestyle change.
And so, yeah, coming back is what is the role that we embody and how do we show up in every moment? Not just at our work, not in the shop, but who are we outside of that and who is our character? And for me, I'm playing with, I said, this side, the barber priest. And it's for me to truly be the full embodiment of the barber priest, I need to practice, not always, but like seasons of purifying my body, and whether that's through fasting or just like really prioritizing my health and nourishing my well-being so that I'm able to serve my clients at a greater level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, God, I feel that, Jake. And for you to explain being at the event, wandering around, connecting, that was what you was doing. That is your role, going to the Barber Expo. It's to connect with people on that level, because as a barber, we see our clients and we hold space for them But who holds space for the barbers? And I
Barbers.
feel that's something that both you and I really resonate with. That's where I class it as I'm giving the hair industry one great big hug. I'm just like, I just want to give the whole hair industry a hug, just because I feel I've got that capacity in me to do that. And it sounds to me, yesterday and the day before, and what you was doing, that's your capacity. You're there providing that experience with the people that you come across, with the people that you're talking to. And that's your little giving the hair industry a hug as you connect with one of them at a time. Yeah. And taking it back to where you say about the fasting and things, I fasted once before. And I even got told by my nutritionist, do not work when you are fasting. What did I go and do? I did. I was working, and I was actually working in a cafe at the time. I was on a smoothie and juice bar, but I don't even know how I got through that time. I mean, I ended up getting blue lips where I was just so depleted. And really, when you talk about the fasting, the reason why I want to bring this up is because if that was something that we taught the industry to a degree, or got nutritionists in that could actually take barbers, hair professionals through that phase, it's saying if you are going to go through a fast, you need to take time off from work, you need to rest your body and just sleep, move slowly, don't work out, and just be. Because then you can come back when your body has gone through that and you've given yourself space and time, you can come back into the arena and provide what you need to provide again.
Yeah, this is, I believe where we're going as the evolution continues is bringing in different experts in their fields. But the role of the barber is so much bigger than just cutting hair, and it's there's so many facets to that are going to continue to deepen and expand and thrive to allow us to be those characters. There was a couple of things that I wanted to touch on, just jumping back a step, was because that we were talking about the hierarchy and the separation is initially when I first became aware of that, I chose probably a victim response, and I was like, just fold my arms. I was like, no, fuck this, I'm not going to show up to any of this stuff, and that's going to be my position. And like, no one really cares. No one really is knowing what's going on for me. And I was like, no, actually, yeah, that's one approach, but I genuinely feel like I get to have more impact by showing up to those things in the complete polarity. And like one of the processes in that is I noticed yesterday there was a lot of black. Like it's very like hairdresser, right? It's everything's black, like everyone's black outfits. And so I've got black, sorry, a white shirt, white pants, and white shoes today, just to like really go in and like completely go, oh, like the neural pathways be like broken, and seeing different opportunities, and it's fun, and we get to really enjoy the journey of being artistic and creative with our expression to demonstrate the message that we want to convey.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, as well, coming back in regards to the hierarchy side, let's take the forest as that analogy again. The trees are the authorities in the hair industry, and then you've got the grass and the flowers and the weeds, which are your hairdressers, your barbers, your apprentices, and everything. What's come to my mind is we need to be allies of one another to enable that system, the ecosystem, to work. Because if the weeds, such as us as barbers, hairdressers, apprentices, are trying to go against the authorities, then the food and the information isn't going to get up to the tree. And then if the trees and the authorities in the hair industry aren't being an ally to the weeds and everything, then they're just going to literally decide to swing the other way and let the sun come in down onto the weeds, and the weeds die. So we need all levels of the industry, from somebody that steps right into the first day of college or their apprentice, the very start of their career, to then those that are in the hair
industry council and the event organizers and things, and even as you say, the people that we look up to who end up being on stage because of their technical skills and things, if we were to just all become allies in that, there'd just be so much more harmony between the industry.
Yeah, let's work together.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the fact that you're wearing white today. This is, and that's just one of those little seeds that we can plant in the industry. Like you see, the industry is swamped with everybody wearing black. Again, I don't even know where that came from, but that was certainly something when I first started in the hair industry. Every salon I worked in, it was you have to wear black. And it's not allowing people to show off who they are. It's not allowing people to show their personality. And that's what we need in this industry. We're all so unique in our very own ways that we need to express that.
Authenticity is going to be a really powerful value, actually. And it's even coming through the storytelling in owning who you are and what your position is. And there's going to be such a variation of that, and we're seeing it a lot, but slowing down enough to know and start to understand who you are, what are your gifts, what are the things that light you up. And how do you bring that into your service? And you make it a really unique offer that we're then desaturating the saturated market, because currently there's thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of barbers all providing the same service, which is good because it creates that polarity to allow us to realize the opportunity to provide something really unique. And in my experience in trying to use other people's ideas and take them, it just leads to a misalignment and burnout through inauthenticity. Then I'm like, I have to remember my way. And my way, it's slower, but I'm operating from what's authentic to me. I can't be the character that's going to stand on stage and yell at people and hype people up. I actually want to hype people down and help them to recalibrate and remember their own essence.
Yeah, and that's where meditation can really play a massive part in that as well, isn't it? It's coming down to actually who are we as an individual and not putting on a show, not putting on a front. I love that. So with the holistic shift, we've mentioned it a few times. From what you and I have been chatting about today, I've got a really good sense of it. But for those that haven't even heard of the holistic shift, can you elaborate on what the holistic shift is and where do you see it going? And I know what we've talked about today is sharing from that space, and I think that's something that both you and I have definitely connected on in terms of a wellness podcast and the yoga barber. We've both really connected on that level, but I'd love for you to just share more about the holistic shift because we've brought it up a few times and people might be thinking, what is this holistic shift?
Perfect. To give this justice, what I feel is appropriate is to acknowledge the lineage of where this has come from. And Mariana Ibrahim, who's been someone that I've been closely aligned with and working with for quite some time, and she popped up into my world in 2021, and I was like, there's something, I don't know what it is, but we need to talk. And anyway, she was running this curriculum called Evolve, and her background's been like therapy, counseling, psychology, and hairdressing, and she's incorporated all the elements together and provided this product. And I have to say, it's transformed my experience of giving me the confidence to actually provide a holistic service to my clients that sometimes looks like a 2 hour session incorporating breathwork and other modalities. Anyway, Mariana spoke to me in October last year, and she said, "Hey, I've just been to the Holistic Global Summit, and I've identified a lot of pieces that could be more effective, more impactful. Let's do something in Australia." Then Not long after that, we started building the tribe and putting the feelers out to see who are the people that are aligned to this same vision. And Sherelle was one of them. And Sherelle, another person has popped up into my world. She was one of the support teachers at TAFE who asked me to start doing education, I believe 2013, 2014, while I was still an apprentice. And I was like the shyest person in the world who couldn't even talk to my clients, let alone stand up in front of a room. And Sherelle saw something and she initiated that. Now, the interesting thing is, both of them hold this really interesting pillar. Marianne is this dark feminine, black hair, black outfit. She's Egyptian. And Sherelle's blonde and quite light. And it's this perfect harmony. And both of them are born in the same year as my mum, which is like just a whole interesting scenario. So they're like my soul moms. And having both of them as pillars in my life has been really supportive to the direction that keeps providing itself. And what we've created in the last couple of months is monthly holistic education for hairdressers into a Facebook group called the Holistic Shift. And the intention is right now is just build tribe and find the people. And naturally, I'm seeing things and remembering people and going, yep, let's build the tribe. And this is the mycelium, right, in the rainforest, and like connecting the pieces. And all the people are starting to feel each other, I feel. And I feel it's getting pretty close, and we're going to be able to have holistic facilitators around the country who are actually helping shift the industry in their own unique ways. And it's the embodiment, the demonstration, the message, the reflection of what we've chosen, and allowing that to be a pathway for a lot of the people in the industry who are tired of the path that they've been offered. Yeah, I feel our message is really that there is another way, and there's a movement that's beyond hair, and it's like the wholeness of the hairdresser, of the barber. What is our role without taking a one-track view on that? And where I feel that gets to shift in one branch of the holistic tree is I was thinking about, even from an education point of view, education that's focused on like selling a product, and not that it's bad, it is, it's where it needs to be, but where we can evolve it to is sales that's product focused, is the outcome is really dependent on the product being sold. And if you're not selling products, it can feel really unfulfilling, and you can often just give up in that. But to transform that into a holistic view and to evolve it into a place where we're not selling products anymore, we're selling transformation. And when we're devoted to the mission of service and transformation, the outcome is dependent on us delivering a service, which is completely dependent on ourselves. And we know that if we've shown up in our fullest capacity in every single moment, I'm going to feel fulfilled in my mission. And this is how we create purpose and bring it back to the industry to create sustainability, rather than people feeling unfulfilled, looking for more money, realizing that's not it, leaving the industry, etc., etc. And to bring the industry back into its strength and its wholeness is actually like looking at a new way and letting go of the older constructs that aren't actually serving the integrity and the recalibration of the industry.
Thank you for sharing that, Jake. I feel when you're sharing this, everything's running through my body like, oh my God, this guy's speaking my words. The way that you explain things is so phenomenal, Jake. And I love that you can share that with me and with us. And to not know that there's another person here that is vibing and got the same visions and frequency, is just so, I want to use the word potent, but potent in like a good way. So I don't know what the positive way of the word
Potent's
potent
good,
is.
yeah.
Like,
Potent's good,
it's so
yeah.
potent. It really is. And it's so lovely to be able to share this journey with you and to, well, number one, give you this space to sort of share all that you have. And I'm really excited to see where the holistic shift goes. I feel there's so many alignments between even connecting with Sherelle and connecting with yourself. And I've yet to connect more with Mariana, but would love to because her energy seems so vibrant and extra, which is what I love about her. She comes on camera, she's just like this ball of
Yeah, all
flame,
embodied in
you
power. Yeah.
know? So it
Yeah.
all sounds really amazing, the direction that you're going in with the holistic shift, and I can't wait to get more involved with it as time goes on and see how this expands out into the industry. And also what's going to be fascinating is to see the evolution of this. So when we look it back in even 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, I'm really interested to see actually what is that timeline going to look like and how long is it going to be until we've got so much awakening within the industry where the frequencies and the energies are just so high vibing that we've managed to break down all of these troubled areas that both you and I and others have witnessed over the years. And I feel when you said about you going, huh, sitting back and screw this, I so felt that as well, Jake. And that's not how we're going to be able to drive forward love and compassion if we're going to be sitting there with our arms crossed and huffing and puffing. So, yeah, it's lovely to be in your company and being in this space with you.
Thank you. Yeah, look, timeline's an interesting one because I feel like there's two levels, there's two contributors to that, and one of them is like the collective experience, and sometimes we'll notice there are consistent events through multiple people's lives of significant change, and that's oh, something's changing, and something for Mariana and I both spoke about, and Sherelle's, it's all happening where Mariana's been trying to do this photo shoot for a long time, and all of a sudden she's done this photo shoot. So the permission was granted to allow her character to be seen of who she really is, because her product's incredible, she's incredible, and there's been gates on her, the horses to gallop. And I've seen some of the photos and it's incredible, and that's enough to really go and make a statement. So there's that. And then at the same time, I've been sitting on the Barber Priest archetype for so long, realistically, probably since April last year when I was in Egypt. And it's been loading, loading. I put this Canva Facebook banner together and it's just been sitting there. I'm like, something's missing. It's not there yet. What is it? And then all of a sudden I've put it out and it's been the same week Mariana did a photo shoot. So some gates have opened. And then secondly to that is the other contributing factor is ourselves and the level to which we can take the courage to go deeper within ourselves and break through the gates to connecting deeper to the soul and bring that forward to the world is going to change things in the collective experience.
Yeah, it starts from within, right? That's where it starts. It's got to be
Yeah.
down to an individual to actively start making changes and actively seek more
Yeah.
of alignment and feeling one and feeling at peace with ourselves. Rather than getting all these external stuff and going, you know what, let's just go internal, and the internalization will then propel out to the external world.
Absolutely. It's like me me feeling the safety in myself to be able to go to someone that's quite like highly recognized within the industry who I created tension with multiple years ago, and to be able to have the conversation with them and apologize and acknowledge my actions, I was like, oh, that's a progression for me because I've felt unable to do that for quite some time, even though it's been present for me. I want to do that, but oh, that's pretty that's confronting. And I'm like, no, I can hold this, and I need to do this. And this is part of the work that I get to do now. And that's, yeah, there's been shifts within me that have allowed me to create that impact. Now, there's more unity that's been created in both her and I's subconscious. Not that she was holding anything against me, but it's like there was subconscious tension based on the fact that it hadn't been spoken to. And so now there's more connection within the whole.
Thank you for sharing that, because that's a big thing. It sounds like it's been a big thing, and it sounds like it was something that was weighing on your shoulders for quite some time, and for you to break through with that, you're leading by example. You're saying this is something that's happened. And again, it's your storytelling. It's coming back to the storytelling. You've got a story that you can share now that people can be inspired by and look up to and go, wow, actually, yeah, maybe I need to approach that person because of X, Y, and Z or whatever. So thank you for your vulnerability there and sharing that story, because, and it's all down to you again. It's all comes down to you're doing the work. And as
We have to.
individuals, we have to do the work.
Yeah, as a piece, maybe as a support for anyone who's listening to this as well, it's something that I've received from experiential learning is to unlock that gate to be opened in the first place. Forgiveness is probably the key factor in that equation. And it's forgiveness for ourselves for our actions, forgiveness for others for what we perceived in their actions. And that doesn't have to be a conversation, but it can be writing a letter and burning it safely, or expressing it, like just speaking it into existence and changing that within our own psychology. And we've released the tension that we thought was there, creates the opportunity for us to actually open the gate.
Thank you for sharing that, Jake. Wowza, what a little journey we've been on. I love that. Thank you so much, Jake. Loved having you share everything that you have today, and I really appreciate you taking some time out of your day as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Felice, for really creating the space and the platform for these stories to be shared, and for your embodiment that a lot of these conversations can't be had without the right questions. And that's coming back to you and what you have owned in your role, your responsibility, and to be able to create space. It's powerful. And yeah, you should know
Thank you, lovely. Appreciate
that.
that. I'm so honored to provide a space for people to share their story and be a safe space. That's my main thing, is I want people to feel safe when they're stepping onto a Wholeness podcast and realizing that it's a gift that we all have to share our stories, and people are going to resonate in one way or another. So thank you, my love. I appreciate that.
If in any way you have felt some form of synchronicity listening to this episode with myself and Jake, please do reach out to both me and Jake, along with Sherelle and Mariana. I will be putting all of our links in the show notes, so do take a little look at them. But as for Jake himself, if you wish to find him on socials, you can do so on Instagram at Who is Jake Putan, and that's Putan. So head over onto Instagram, find us on there, reach out to us. I would really love to hear from some of you. So if you've listened to this episode and you feel a chord being struck within you and you feel you resonate with what we're sharing, then please, please do let me know. Send me a DM on Instagram. I'll be super keen to connect with you further. As what Jake and I were saying in today's episode is we are wanting to find the tribe. So if you believe you're one of the tribe, come find us. As for next week's episode, I can't tell you exactly what's coming next week because I don't even know myself right now. But I know that I've got some really amazing guests coming your way. So of course, keep your ears open. And if you've not already followed a Wholeness podcast, please do so. And if you've not left a review or a star rating, again, please do so. It will help out so much to get the word far and wide. So I'm going to be loving and leaving you for the meantime. And of course, you'll hear from me next week.
As always, stay tuned and stay real. Join me every Wednesday for a Wholeness podcast. I'll catch you real soon. Peace, love, and light.